Mark's Gospel, chapter 2. And our text for this evening is the verse 3. Mark chapter 2 and verse 3. They come unto him, unto the Lord Jesus, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. No matter where the Lord's ministry took him, he encountered a variety of responses from among the people who heard him preach. For example, he arrived at Capernaum, as we read in the opening verse, having crossed over the Sea of Galilee from a place where the people did not want him. That was their response to Christ and his ministry. They didn't want him. We know that from Matthew chapter 8 and 34. And there we read, behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. Can you imagine? They besought him. They prayed him to depart out of their coasts. The whole population of a city did not want to have anything to do with the Lord Jesus. And it seems as though today there are whole cities that have no place for Christ. Then upon his arrival in Capernaum, we're told that he entered into a certain house. And amongst those who were gathered there were Pharisees and doctors of the law. Now we're told by Luke what their response was. For we read in Luke chapter 5, verse 17, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Mark the words. Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. They were merely sitting by. They were indifferent to the word that the Lord had preached. They were indifferent to his teachings. They didn't give any attention to the word as it was going forth. They were merely sitting by. And how often in church services, in gospel meetings, are there those in a congregation and they show the same indifference to the word of God. They give no attention to the word. They're merely sitting by. You would fear for those who are indifferent to the gospel and to the word of the Lord. For indifference to the gospel message is a terrible thing. For it will take that indifferent, careless sinner out into a lost eternity. But thankfully, not everyone in that house into which the Lord had entered were merely sitting by. Not everyone was indifferent to the ministry of Christ. Rather, there were those who were genuinely interested in the Lord. They were genuinely interested in what Christ could do for them. They were interested in hearing his word. I trust that we all tonight are interested in the word and interested in Christ of the word. And what Jesus Christ can do for us and do for our souls. One such man who was interested was the man who's described here as the man sick of the palsy. I want to consider this man this evening and learn of his interest in Christ and what the Lord Jesus did for him. For what he did for this man, the Lord is able to do the same for men and women today. For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. I want us to notice, first of all, the coming of the Master. Mark tells us in verse 1 of the second chapter, and again he entered into Capernaum. Matthew says in Matthew 9 verse 1, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. The Lord Jesus looked upon Capernaum as his own city. Capernaum, his own city, his home, as it were, while upon earth. And now he has returned to his own city, which is an indication that he had been there before. He was returning to the place where he had been before. He came again, it says, into his own city, or into Capernaum. And so here we have the return of the Master. He's simply returning to Capernaum, where he had already ministered. And he returned to Capernaum to minister again, for we read, and there he preached the word unto them. And so an opportunity had been given to the people of that city and surrounding areas to hear once more the preaching of the word. The preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another opportunity was given to the people to come to him and be healed of their infirmities and to be saved from their sins. And one of those who came that day, or was brought that day, was the man sick of the palsy. And he was brought to Jesus Christ. He and his friends that carried him could not miss this opportunity. For the Lord would not always be ministering in Capernaum. He would have other areas to go to. Other souls to save. Other bodies to heal. And so the man who was sick of the palsy and his friends seized the opportunity of the Lord Jesus being there. And it was an opportunity that they could not miss. Such an opportunity could not be missed. They could not afford to let this opportunity pass them by. And the Bible being open tonight, and indeed every time the Word of God is opened, and the Word is preached, and Jesus Christ is preached, it's like the Lord Jesus coming again, paying again another visit to this house, as he paid a visit to that house in Capernaum. Every time the gospel is preached, it's like the Lord Jesus coming again to this house. And there once again there is an opportunity for needy souls to come to him. For needy souls to call upon him while he is near. For souls to be saved, it's an opportunity that is given again tonight. It's an opportunity that may not come again. So it is an opportunity that must be seized. It's an opportunity that must be laid hold of. It's an opportunity for men and women to receive Christ as their Savior. You have the return of the Master. And then you have the report about the Master. Mark informs us, and it was noised that he was in the house. That word noised is translated in a variety of ways. It may be rendered heard. So people heard that the Lord Jesus was in this house. The great healer, miracle worker, greatest of all preachers, was in this house. The word noise may be rendered another way, reported. And so it was reported that the Lord Jesus was in the house. The word spread throughout that district that the Lord was there. People were talking. People were passing on the word. People heard the news. Christ was in this house in the city of Capernaum. So multitudes came to that house, including the man sick of the palsy. Why did they follow up on the report? Why did they follow up on what they heard? Some came, no doubt, out of curiosity. Others to observe what was taking place, like the Pharisees. They were there merely sitting by, not gaining anything from the word that was preached. While others came believing that Jesus could do something for them. That's why they were there. That is why this man was there. He was paralyzed. He was a sinner. And the great healer was in the house. And the great Savior from sin was in the house. And the man had to get there. And he followed up on the report. And was brought to this house where the Lord was ministering. Oh, if only men and women today would believe the report and come and see what Christ can do for them. Because from this place tonight, I can report Jesus Christ is here in this house. I can report that he can make the sinner whole. That's the report. I can report that he can make the drunkard sober. He can make the harlot pure. He can make the blasphemer sing his praises. I can report that this Jesus can do what no one else can do. He can make anew lives that have been wrecked and destroyed by sin. He can build again homes that the devil has destroyed. He can give rest to the troubled conscience, health to the sin-sick soul, joy to the sorrowful heart, hope where now there is nothing but despair. That's my report. And he can give cleansing where there is nothing but filthiness. And this Jesus is in this house. That's my report, and that's my Jesus. Oh, that men would come, respond to the report, follow up in the report that Christ, the Savior of sinners, is here. That they would come and say, Lord, cleanse me from all my sin, because he is mighty to save. Next in this passage of Scripture regarding the coming of the Master, we have the reception by the Master. Notice what Mark says here about the cries that came to him that day in that house. And straightway many were gathered together. Before we go any further, notice the word straightway. It's a word that is repeated many times in Mark's Gospel. Straightway means immediately. Forthwith. You've all those words repeated over and over again in the Gospel of Mark. Because Mark emphasizes the ministry of the Lord Jesus. He's the servant in toil. He's always busy. Waste no time. And when the Lord came to Capernaum and came into that house, the people who gathered there didn't waste any time either. And straightway, many were gathered together. Didn't waste any time. Oh, that sinners today would follow their example. For there are sinners today and they're wasting time. They're headed to a lost eternity and they're wasting time. Every day takes a near eternity. They're not redeeming the time. Instead, they're tarrying, waiting for a more convenient season when they might call on the Lord Jesus, when they ought to come straightway, immediately, to Christ. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. The Lord was ready to receive them. Such was the crowd. wasn't any reluctance on the part of Christ. The multitude that came were restricted by the room that there was in the house. But what is to be emphasized here is that the Lord Jesus was ready to receive them. Insomuch that there was no room to receive them. Christ was ready to receive them. And Christ is ready to receive men and women today. He's ready to receive all comers. All who come to him, he will receive. Rich or poor, bond or free, religious or non-religious, young or old, down and out. Doesn't matter. All who come to Jesus Christ, Jesus receiveth sinful men. That's the only qualification a man needs to come to Christ. Needs to be a sinner. That doesn't leave anybody out then. Because we're all sinners. All may come to Jesus Christ and he will receive all who come to him. But the sad point is, the sad part of it is, not all will come. But he's ready to receive anyone who comes to him. No matter who they are, what they are. What was it the Pharisees said? By way of criticism of Christ, they said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Maybe those Pharisees never spoke a truer word. They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Because those words, I'm sure, have encouraged many a sinner to come to Jesus Christ, because it was said, this man receiveth sinners. And he's still receiving sinners. He's still receiving all comers. The word receiveth means to receive to oneself. And so the Lord Jesus is ready to receive sinners and bring them to himself. If only they would come to him. When he went to Gadara, there's a man there who's only known in scripture as Legion. When the Lord landed in Gadara, Legion, we're told, was afar off. Nobody would have anything to do with Legion. He was a madman. But we are told that he came to Christ. He came running. Did Christ reject him or turn him away? Jesus received him unto himself. Praise the Lord's name. He received this man that nobody else wanted. He received this man that no one else would dare go near. He received the man that everybody avoided. Jesus receiveth sinners. It's true. Didn't he receive lepers? Lepers came to him and he received them unto himself. If anyone saw a leper walking down the street, in Bible times they would in all probability take another way home. They wouldn't walk down the same street as a leper. Jesus Christ received them. Did he not receive the chief of sinners? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul said. And thank God he received sinners, even the chief of sinners. Didn't he receive that repentant thief on the cross? He received him unto himself. He said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And thank God we can preach tonight a Savior who will receive sinners, no matter who that sinner might be. The worst of sinners. The vilest of sinners. For the Lord Jesus said, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. What a message that is. I will in no wise cast out. Is that not all that sinner needs to hear? Why would the sinner wait any longer when Jesus says, I will in no wise cast you out? It's the coming of the Master. And then you have the companions on a mission. Read here about in our text. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. These four men are obviously the companions of the man sick of the palsy. And they were on a mission. What was that mission? To get this man to Christ. To get him into the house where the Lord was ministering. And to get him in there that the Lord might work a miracle in this man's life. That was their mission. This highlights for us then their purpose. Their sole purpose was to bring this man to Christ. Verse 3 says, and they come unto him. Or as Matthew puts it, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy. I must confess, as a minister called of God to preach the gospel, that's always my mission. It is the purpose of every evangelist. It is the purpose of every faithful gospel preacher to bring men to Jesus Christ. My purpose in preaching the gospel is, by the grace of God, to bring men and women unto him. As we often sing, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity or sin and the grave, weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. For that's the plight of every unconverted soul. The soul's perishing. And it is a fact that cannot be denied. Men are dying. Men can deny many a thing about the gospel and about truth, but this is one truth they cannot deny. One day they will die. And they will perish. Without God and without hope. And there is a great unfathomable abyss. Yawning wide beneath their feet. And the moment the last breath leaves their body, they will fall down, down, down into the darkness. To be there forever. That's why we want to bring men to Christ. For there's only one way of escape. There is only one lifeline. There's only one Savior. There's only one door into heaven. That Savior is Christ. And our purpose in preaching the gospel is to get men to him. By the Spirit working through the preacher, he will endeavor to convince men and women of their need of Jesus Christ. He will endeavor to remove every argument from them as to why they cannot be saved or shouldn't be saved or don't need to be saved. That's the business of the preacher. And in seeking to convince the sinner, he will show the sinner the cross and the crown of thorns. He will show the sinner the wounds and the nails and the blood and the pierced side. And will say to the sinner, how can you refuse? How can you turn your back on one who has done so much and endured so much and suffered so much and given so much and loved so much? It's our business to get men to Christ. Notice not only the purpose but the partners. These men were partners. They shared the burden of this man, because we are told that they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. They brought him in his couch or his bed. You can see in your mind's eye one at each corner, helping to carry this man, sharing the burden of getting this man to the Lord. It's like those today who share the burden of someone's soul. A wife, perhaps, has a burden for her unsaved husband. It's a burden she cannot carry alone. She tells her minister about it. She tells her brothers and sisters in Christ about it. And they share the burden with her. In every prayer meeting, they pray for that woman's husband. They're all in it together. Because they know if that husband doesn't get right with God, he'll perish without Christ. Maybe it's not a husband. Maybe it's a son. Or it's a daughter. And once again, the burden is shared. In every prayer meeting, that son or daughter's name is mentioned. Lord, save that young man. Somebody else will say amen. Yes, Lord, save him. And they will pray together, and they will weep together, and they will cry to God together. It's a burden shared. And they share the burden of getting their loved ones, a husband, a wife, a son or a daughter, a friend, a neighbor, to Jesus Christ. That's their purpose. And their partners with regard to this burden. But then we see next the power. The people gathered to that house, and the Lord ministered unto them. And these four men brought the man sick of the palsy to that house, because they believed, they must have believed that the Lord Jesus had power to heal the man. Why else would they be there? And over in Luke chapter 5, where we have a record of the same incident, Luke 5 and verse 17, we read, "And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, a man brought in a bed, and behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy." The power of the Lord was present to heal. And so they brought the man sick of the palsy to that house. And there was power there. The Lord's power was present to heal. And thank God, when the gospel is preached, there's power in the preaching of the word to save souls. There's power in the blood to save the deepest dyed sinner. There's the power of the Lord. The Lord's power is present to heal. And that's exactly what happened when the man who was sick of the palsy was healed. For we read in verse 10 of Mark chapter 2, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Priest doesn't have the power. Church doesn't have the power. Jesus Christ alone has the power to forgive sins. There's hope for the sinner because Christ has power to save. And then finally you have the conversion of the man. The conversion of the man. Mark chapter 2 and verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. There's his deliverance. He was delivered from his sin. My, what an experience that is. What joy that brings to the heart to know that sins have been forgiven. And how this man rejoiced that his sins were forgiven that day. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. I wonder what sins he had committed. I wonder what sins had been marked up against his name. I wonder where he had been. I wonder what he had done. Jesus knew them all. And Jesus had power to cleanse them all, and that's what he did. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. They were all forgiven. They were put under the blood. Not only the deliverance of the difference. There was a difference in this man when his sins were forgiven. Because we read in verse 10, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he rose and took up the bed and went forth before them all. It was a difference in this man's life. That's what the Lord is able to do. Is able to work a difference in the lives of men and women. This man, who knows how long he'd lain on that bed, paralyzed. But when he met the Savior, there was a difference. And thank God Christ is able to bring about a difference in the way men live, the way they behave, the way they talk, the way they act, by his sin-cleansing power. Notice his dwelling. We're told in verse 11, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. From the house where the word was preached, from the house where Christ was ministering, this man was able to take up his bed and walk home to his own house. And he did so rejoicing. Can you imagine the chains there was in that house? What a change had taken place. My, as the little song goes, all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. And there was a change in that man's house. There was a change in his heart, so there was a change in his house. He went home a new man. He went home a new creature. He went home a different person. It was all because of what Christ had done. All my lives be changed. through our witness here. May sinners be saved. May homes be changed through the miracle working power of the Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Lord and gracious Father, we bless Thee that there is indeed power in the blood, power in the Word, there's power in the Spirit. It is the Lord's power. And our God, we know that every time the gospel is preached, the power of the Lord is present to heal men and women of their sins. O Lord, we pray for a demonstration of that power tonight and in the days to come. Dear Lord, write the word upon hearts. May we think about it tonight. May we meditate upon it day and night. And O gracious Lord, be with us now as we leave the house of God, that we go to our own homes rejoicing in what Jesus has done for us. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forever. Amen.